This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
In the spirit of championing free speech, the following program is conceived and presented by the host as independent content. It does not necessarily represent views endorsed by Free FM.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, a show with a left-wing perspective on Free FM 89.0. To my right, but from the left, is Fred.
Thank you.
In front of me is Mick, and this is Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's good about it?
Good to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm alive another day.
Kura wai te te whenua e te kohu. Outside is foggy, and it's so it's, there's a cloak of fog over the land. How's that?
I hope people enjoy their Matariki weekend. I like your analogy.
I had plenty of fried bread and butter and jam, so I had a good Matariki celebration. So that was cool.
So the winter solstice.
Yeah,
and the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere.
Isn't it interesting that the connectivity between different indigenous peoples at earlier on, of course, but how many different cultures, etc., recognise the solstice?
In their own way.
And had different ceremonies or anything else. But it was quite a big time.
Yeah. So this time of year, would people start planting?
It's still too early, but it's you know that it's changing. This is it. This is the line, and then off it starts again.
Right. Because some of those solstices is usually indication of planting or harvesting or whatever.
Yeah, it was a hard case because I left the marae on. We did it on what day it was? Must have been Thursday, and I went, "Oh, Happy New Year, everyone!" As I left, and I went, "What?" I said, "Have a happy Matariki." Oh yeah, that's what.
Yeah, because
we all had a laugh.
Yeah, because the calendar is the calendar like the Gregorian one and the Julian one. They're just European constructs.
So we have two. We basically have two New Year's days. And a public holiday, and all the moaners.
Still took the public holiday.
I'm sure they. Well, some of them who was really staunch, probably didn't. They all took the public holiday.
But they complained about it, first of all.
Act
with a classic complaints when Matariki was first mooted.
But over time they got used to it.
Yeah, okay. Since we're on complaints, can I have my complaints about the
traffic? Yes.
Clear the decks.
It was a bit stressful. What happened was my mother had a birthday at 97 over in Tauranga, so long story short, came back, dropped my son off at Litchfield, headed back into Hamilton, got to the expressway just before Cambridge, Wednesday afternoon, about half past four or whatever, and there's traffic in front of me, and I was just past the turn off to go to Cambridge, so I couldn't go back if I realised. Mm-hmm. But anyway, took from there to home took about 2.5 hours.
And why was that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know at the time, but there was an accident, and eventually we saw a sign that said accident. But I was in queues of traffic. But what the issue was, I found out the next day, fortunately, But the accident happened, which was the truck containing a bit of rubble containing asbestos had tipped over at Tamahere. But what my issue was is why the heck didn't the police or traffic management or NZTA or whoever runs it, why, if they knew the accident happened at 11:20 a.m. in the morning,
yeah,
I went through there at 4:30 and it was still, it was blocked, you know, it was so... Where was the...
No detour signs? No.
Well, there were detour signs after about an hour and a half, it seemed, going from the start of Cambridge to the middle of Cambridge. They do tourists debating. Yeah, it was too late for me. But that was... Where was the detour thinking about take them off at Cambridge, some to go via Leamington and up to Te Awamutu through that way or that? Or tear out, divert the traffic and say, look, the main road is shut between Cambridge and Hamilton, and have a sign and divert people up to Matamata and across to Mowensville into Hamilton or further north.
Yeah.
I just thought, I'll say, I was quite, luckily I didn't know at the time, but
were you peeved?
I was, well, the next day I thought, that's shocking, you know.
Another you say before.
I was more about to say.
A few choice expletives.
Well, at 11:20 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning, even if there'd been fatalities, and I don't believe there was, but... They did, surely someone would have thought, got a road map out, hang on, I'll send you one, whoever was in charge, and have a look at the Waikato. There's more than one way. We don't all have to go to Matangi, to middle of Cambridge to get there. They should have had diversions from Te Reo and Pitaru out. You could have gone out via Arapuni and up to Te Awamutu.
Yeah.
Because this was obviously going to be a big delay. So what do you call it when you have brickbats to...
You're a classic brick back there, Fred.
Yeah, so that was poor. I just thought that was poor, that you can't organise something in a haystack.
No, I think it's to a brewery.
I always get those names wrong. But anyway,
it's a more cruder version of it.
They could do better. Do better. Think it out. And to say they couldn't say they didn't have the staff. There's traffic management trucks and all that everywhere. And the police. They could have easily diverted the roads further down if it's going to be that major an incident.
I think, it sounds like the classic David Seymour thing, eh? You'll get stuck.
Well, I just think the concentration was around the truck, not thinking, hang on a minute, this is the main highway, north and south.
Mm-hmm.
How much traffic there? Can't we divert anything?
But the original people who got stopped because of the accident must have been stuck there even longer than you were.
Well, they would have fed through, but you know, you're going 100 k's an hour and there's how many cars a minute. Even if they are letting things through one lane,
it's only a trickle,
time,
isn't it?
A trickle gets blocked up pretty quick. Because you see that even the holiday period at Te Reo, it bottlenecks up pretty quick. So anyway, that's my moan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable. And you can see it along that highway, diversion places that could happen.
Yeah.
Cambridge, you go take the old way back through Cambridge past the Velodrome.
Yeah, and you could have come out via Melville. You know, there's lots of ways to get Kaipiki, north. Mowensville, Matamata.
You could think of it.
And people would have gone. If you're going to Auckland, why would you? You wouldn't. Yeah, okay, the expressway takes you to Auckland, but if it's shut, get out. You know, if you'd known at Pitaru, you in Te Reo, you'd have just diverted.
There'll be a few red faces at the review meeting after this.
Well, you hope there's some people question the whole.
How it went
and didn't go.
Even there's those smaller roads too. Bruntwood takes you back to Matangi, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what they did use. But of course, they could have diverted stuff before.
Horse and bolted.
You know, getting us to Cambridge to divert us. Why didn't they divert us either at the start of Cambridge or Pitaru back further? You know.
Yeah, because you were at Litchfield, so when you were at Litchfield, that accident had already happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That was the annoying thing. If the accident had just happened, you get caught up in it. When an accident happens at 11:20.
So if you had known about it at Litchfield, you could have made.
And I was on the. This is the irony of it. I was on the Pitaru Te Awamutu Road, Kihiki Road, and I thought, oh, it's a nice day. I'll travel up the Horahora Road up by the Waikato River. It's quite scenic. And I'd half thought, I could go around via Kiki and Te Awamutu. Well, no, I'll go back the way I came. I would have. That's how I would have gone home if I'd known.
Mm. Yeah. So there was various places to avoid traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I picked up from this week was to do with what's happening over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it was comments made by Robert Patman. He's the professor, I think his expertise in international relations.
That's right. He's ex-American.
Yeah. Canadian. He said Israel already has 200 nuclear weapons,
yep.
Quoted. He noted Iran had signed the non-proliferation treaty. Israel has not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the international overseas for nuclear weapons?
Oh, the Atomic Energy Agency.
Yeah. Have said that they've probably got a lot of nuclear stuff.
Yeah.
But they haven't made. There's no evidence that they've made a weapon.
I was listening to the news this morning, and Trump's ignoring his intelligence community, who say there's no evidence that the Iranians have got nuclear weapons. No. And for the last, how many years, 20 years, something like that, Netanyahu has been banging on about how it's only 6 months away before Iran has the bomb.
Yeah, so this is just Israeli
propaganda.
Yeah.
And Trump's decided that, the intelligence community are wrong. Mm.
It's Israeli paranoia.
Yeah.
You know, and the Yanks are bought into it, sadly.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the tragedy of it is Iran was at peace. And Israel's done it before, of course, but this time they've had a good go at them. You know, they weren't at war, and Israel's decided to preempt attack for something that they've been saying that's imminent,
yeah.
Which hasn't been imminent at all.
And the Israelis refuse to disclose they've got nuclear weapons.
So who's the bad guy here? Let me think, you know? And I think actually a lot of people, even who might traditionally have supported Israel, know that Israel's the bad guy in this, but... Israel just at present their current way of thinking is and they get support, they get covered by America, so they can't, nothing can be done in the UN, nothing can be done because America blocks everything basically.
So basically both countries are hammering each other with weapons.
But it's still one-sided because Israel's got as far stronger than Iran.
But they've penetrated the dome.
Have, and they've managed to. I think they managed to surprise the Israelis.
But the Israelis say, how dare they? They've been killing civilians. But they're doing the same thing.
The classic one on that one, Mick, was they had hit that hospital in Tel Aviv.
You crossed a red line.
You crossed a red line.
All the bad guys are using hospitals and bunkers.
And then they found out that
the Israelis are doing it.
And under one of the Israeli hospitals, the military have got a headquarters, the Israeli military. And like I say, how many, they've destroyed virtually every hospital they can.
Pretext that Hamas has been using as a nuclear, as a
these guys are, if it wasn't so sad and tragic and awful, it'd be a joke. But it's just disgusting. Yeah. And I don't know
They did it abetted by the US.
Yeah, and that's
all the equipment. They wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for the equipment the Americans are sending over.
Yeah. It's just awful. It's not more than embarrassing. It's an indictment on all of us. We've all been caught up in something that was just.
We just sat there and done nothing really. Yeah.
And even we're New Zealand and all starting to make noises,
it's platitudes, isn't it?
Yeah. And even now you see the media. There's still this push that it's sort of an even fight and that's Iran's sort of at fault.
This
suggestion.
Is not Ukraine, Russia. This is not.
No.
Yeah, it's awful.
Can we go to a positive on all that?
We'll have a positive. Yeah.
Is No King's Day?
Oh,
we talked about it last week.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer bloke. Very few people turned up.
And I've got a recording here for President Trump's military parade. I'll just record it.
Can you guess what it is, Greg?
That's the tank that was going along the parade.
I think it was not the only tank
John Stewart covered this as well. And he said, we're the leaders of the free world. We've got all these nuclear, all these arms. I mean, you've got no can of WD-40.
it was pretty embarrassing.
And it was embarrassing. And there's more people out in the streets protesting than there were at the parade.
They had 5 or 6 million nationwide.
Protests.
A protest came out.
Good.
That's a lot of people. And there were a few people at Trump's parade, but it was embarrassment because, of course, they showed...
It certainly wasn't as polished as the Russians or the Chinese when they
have a North Koreans,
parade. North Koreans.
These sort of casual American soldiers. It was
embarrassing.
And I think Trump was embarrassed. I think, I just thought this was...
It was an expensive embarrassment because it cost $40 million, I reckon, for that parade.
Well, and how much did it cost them in loss of face? Good job. And a credit to all the people that came out, no kings. And all various, typical America, they all come out for different reasons, but they came out.
But it's interesting the cross section of people from different backgrounds and political persuasion. They just said,
even in states that are real strong pro Trumps, they had protests, etc.
The horrible thing that came out of this week out of the United States was the attitude of both Trump and that Senator Lee from Utah over those killings in Minnesota.
A couple of politicians got killed.
Politician
and her husband.
No empathy at all.
They just politicised it.
Lee did.
This is all the fault of Democrats. This is all the fault of the lefties.
But they also said that the killer had a list of people that he wanted to kill.
So, but you get, gun craze, they have guns everywhere and, you just need a crazy man to get a gun, hold of a gun and, crazy person, I guess.
Yeah, the thing was he was part of Waltz's outfit too, wasn't he, this character?
Yeah, he had a history of politics as well. But it's still a tragedy for, politicians shouldn't get caught up on that, shouldn't happen to anyone.
No.
But this is America, just be another gun casualty,
The first politician,
and it won't change.
First politician to be killed.
Well, we've seen them. They've had some dreadful shootings, etc. And my phone's in my pocket. Sorry.
It was an ice cream van coming back.
Not the squeaky wheel from the parade.
This is America. The gun rules will just waddle along. And how many guns already exist floating around?
But someone pointed out Canada has the same gun ratio per capita as America, but they don't have the same problem. Well, they've had some.
Some, but not in the same.
Not to the same extent as America. Yeah. Europe or Switzerland has more guns per capita, and they don't have this problem.
Mass shootings, no.
I hope that has not.
Touch wood.
It's
something else that it's kind of unusual came out of the United States to do with that ICE carry on.
Immigration.
They picked up that politician who wanted to
This is a different event. No, these people must have been following an ICE vehicle,
right.
And that person popped in and took a photo of the number plate.
Yeah.
This joker rushed out and pointed the gun out.
I know they got blocked out somewhere.
LA Dodgers Stadium.
Yeah, and ICE was trying to go and do something, and I think the spectators and the fans and all that just blocked the road so they couldn't get in.
Good.
That's...
how many innocent people have been swept up in these raids?
Yeah. And America's made of immigrants,
And they need them to keep the system going.
Yeah, exactly.
They got this horrible character to do with their Homeland Security.
What's his name?
Tom Homan. He's a horrible, horrible man. I think he's one of Trump's loyal lieutenants. But I've just changed his name, Tom Homophobe. That's all I think he is.
Yeah, there's quite a few that are hell bent. And let's face it. As much as it's awful, Trump stood on, I'm going to get rid of the immigrants, didn't he?
The violent ones. And the drug dealers.
I don't think people, when they voted for him, realised.
And they say a lot of innocent people have been swept up in this. They've got legal papers, but they've been swept up. No access to due process of law.
Yeah.
What about those two brothers who allegedly committed sexual offences in Romania? They were given a free bus ticket in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Bizarre.
Oh, the Tate brothers?
The Tate brothers, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember the name. That's
what the nasty looking individuals in Romania.
And they were...
But they were accepted.
Yeah, they were accepted, yeah.
In America, okay. I thought it was England, but okay, yeah.
No, I think they had some sort of dual citizenship somewhere.
So this is about race, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's about be Latino, be Asian,
not the right
African
colour.
Yeah.
Well, Trump's already brought in these sort of travel bans for countries, various countries around the world that tend to be brown people.
I wonder how that sort of paints people want to go there for the Soccer World Cup in 2026.
I wouldn't want to go anywhere near the United States.
But if your team goes there,
exactly.
And it was an African team, for example.
Yeah,
what happens then?
Well, it'll be interesting, and what does happen? Because is America right? People with money, they think where should we go this year? You know, where should we go this month for our junket? Will they still be wanting to go to America?
Highly unlikely.
Well, some will, but some will. I don't know if...
It's going to be interesting because the games are jointly held, aren't they?
Mexico, Canada and United States.
Yeah, and how does the three think if they've got ICE agents running around, will they be stood down for the period to calm the fun?
Unless they did what Hitler did during the Olympic Games.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, painted a facade of what was going on in 1936.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here. The Jews are
back to business.
The Jews are still alright. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be fair. We tend to see that sort of facade behaviour happen.
Oh, here as well.
Lots of places. We're opening a new building. We're having an international event, and this happens around the world. And then they sort of sweep the streets, don't they? You know,
No homeless here.
We're fine. No, don't know where they're gone. And we did it with we could house all the homeless because we did it with COVID.
Yeah.
But now it's gone back to a sweep approach,
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another thing I found very interesting, and I hope you had seen it, the pair of you, Loki's analogy of those Middle Eastern states who have had security systems put in place by Israel. Have you seen that?
I did see that.
And it's countries like Saudi Arabia. There's countries like Egypt. Countries like Indonesia. Countries like Pakistan.
Yeah, I think the same countries. Israel sold them their online. What do you call it? Surveillance programs. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
Well, Israel. Let's.
So it's been exporting these. And if we can buy this off, you're going to buy a security system on online, whatever it is. I can't remember what you call it.
So they track their citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you buy a system from a country that. I mean, it seems like a.
But isn't it sad that this country has used the awfulness that they do to the Palestinians, now the Iranians, they use that to sell their military prowess and their technical prowess.
But
look, it works because we can show you it works because, look, do you want to look? We'll show you how we deal with
someone. It's a bit like a Trojan horse, eh? And they can operate people's phones by remote.
Well, we saw the tragedy of that, the awfulness of that.
They can set phones off to detonate and things like that.
Yeah, the interesting one that I found was the one, because that system that they've used is used by the Saudi Arabians.
Yeah.
And that's how they tracked Khashoggi, to trap him in that embassy.
It's
really nasty sort of business.
The police states must be eager to pick up this techware.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I say, to be fair to Israel, that they have used their experiences, put it nicely, so they can sell this stuff because it's been used. Here's the evidence. You want to have a look at this bomb, this drone, this phone? Mm-hmm. This is what we've done. You imagine the sales they've had through their phone system and all that, being able to do all that, highly advanced.
They do.
But say for awful purposes.
So I recommend, if anybody's listening out there, I'd recommend that you look at Double Down News, and I'd recommend that you look at this particular episode presented by Low Key.
Double Down News
is it fairly recent? Is it
fairly recent? You'd find it extremely interesting.
I think he's Al Jazeera covered it as well some time ago, but I can't remember the name of this Israeli
Panty something. Pantia?
Something like Something it could maybe? Be like, it could be something,
something
like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For P, I think, from memory.
Yeah, he, low key, probably of the Double Down News presenters, probably sounds like he does his job around.
Well, and it's very short. It's very
succinct.
Succinct, and that's what you want. Cause it is complex.
Yeah, it's quite complex. Yeah, but he presented it in such a way that made it easy to understand.
And what a credit! That guy's used his profile, what I call for good, to try and make the world a better place, and you know, stand up against injustice. You know,
That's what he's done.
And Double Down News tends to do that all the time. They're various people.
Yeah.
Come on, we talk about George Monbiot, Jeremy Corbyn's on.
Roger Waters has been on it, I think.
Peter Osborne.
Heaps of people. They've all had various subjects to speak on. And
some of the pieces are only about 15 minutes long.
But
they get the point across.
Yeah. Very easily, particularly on the one that he presented this week. So what do you got there?
Pegasus, that's the name
Pegasus.
Of it.
Pegasus.
That's the one.
So Panties was wrong, but that was a nice one.
You just got a one-track mind, haven't you?
Well, we're talking about the Israelis.
The Pegasus, that's the one. Tracking all their undesirables. Dubai, Qatar, and other places too, they've got it. And you kind of see which countries don't have that system.
Yeah.
Lebanon.
Yeah.
Iran.
Yeah.
What did that tell you?
But the
usual miscreants.
The tragedy on the Iran thing is that the Yanks, the Israelis, are besotted about Iran and its potential. But the tragedy is that the Yanks have got caught up in it, and they want regime change.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, and they just desperately, I think you said it before, mate.
They want the Shah back.
They want someone who'll take a suitcase of cash and have sort of the old sort of days of just being subservient to America, hence Israel, you know?
Yeah.
So there was nothing good about the Shah's regime either.
Of course, but they didn't worry about that.
They didn't worry. They don't care about being good or not.
Yeah.
They've done it before. They've
been subservient.
So they were saying he was a bad boy, but he was...
Bad boy. Yeah, well put, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
They didn't give a damn about the population.
And that's they still
South America. Country after country you can list where America involved.
And
undermining local governments.
They did in 1953 in Iran.
And so Iran's a threat mainly because they're brown and they're not our religion. So
and they're basically giving the finger.
And Israelis don't like
giving
them.
The big finger to America.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stamp on their flag. Death to America stuff.
But I say a lot of we don't really know how the Iranian thinks because we only get a lot of mainstream media.
Yeah.
You know, which has a slant before they even.
And the only Iranians that you kind of engage with, outside of that, is that those who've come to this country.
I'm not exactly supporting the regime because there are a lot of people. Do suffer under the current regime just as they suffered the one before.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse what Israel's done.
Now, why should they be attacked just because Israel doesn't like them? You know?
It's all about dialogue and all that sort of stuff, engagement.
Yeah. And who took, you know, Iran was, as we know, was in the Iranian, in the nuclear talks, etc. It was Trump that pulled them out of it, you know? And then they turn around and say, well, we don't like what you do. Well, and then they just. Gave the green light. And we know that America's behind Israel for attacking Iran without warning, etc. Because Ted Cruz said so. He said, well, you know, because he was been interviewed by Tucker Carlson, who's quite a right-wing sort of, conservative. But boy, did he! If you want to see a good interview, you're taking someone apart, you want to watch Tucker Carlson's interview of Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, he just ate. Eight crews alive, you know, and made some very good points. Because
this is all going on. Well, there's been some negotiations, I think, somewhere in Europe between the Iranians and
American. How can you trust? How can the Chinese? You know, because America, if you America says, "Oh, we want to shake hands and make up," how would you trust America? They've broken everything they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So China will be going. Hang on a minute, and we know that Iran was on the list that they wanted to. Sort out. They don't care if it's a failed state. They don't care what happens after
they want a failed state.
Absolutely. As long as it's not a threat to Israel, they don't care if there's 10 different henchmen around with different
fears. They've done it in Iraq. They want to do the same in Jordan.
They've done it in Libya.
Libya.
Yeah, yeah. They don't care what what how the people live. It's long as the long as Israel's safe.
And we've got access to their oil.
That's all we're worried about. That's Libya. That's that one.
And that's just controlled by various henchmen. You know, when I say henchmen, various tribal chiefs.
Well, I said, look, Trump was saying that he couldn't understand why Iranians wanted to have Iranian enrichment for civilian purposes because they've got all their oil.
Mm.
He was really flummoxed as to why they want.
Dumb. Mm. Your man is dumb.
But he has all the power.
Surrounded by other people who are just as dumb.
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell has a field day when it comes to that sort of intelligence of Trump. Lack of.
Yeah, luckily, unfortunately, my connection on the internet hasn't been that great, so I haven't been able to tap into those ones because sometimes it starts buffering. But Lawrence O'Donnell is really good. And Samit Cohen, I think he's. I can't remember his first name.
Alistair Cook. Is also very good. You know, he's interviewed by Judge Neapolitano at Judging Freedom. He's got he's an ex-British civil servant, come diplomat, international diplomat. He usually has his finger on the pulse of what's going on too. So,
there are people worth listening to. So, what do you got there, Mick?
Well, I haven't got much this week, but just the last few. I've got two articles. This is about the proposed incinerator in Tiamutu. For burning plastics and
rubbish,
and tyres, and of course some of the people, well, a lot of the people are upset about this because not in our backyard sort of thing, because they're worried about the pollution from the incineration. But as the manager of the business who's setting this up said, well, we need to get rid of the plastics in the first place,
which is should be the real issue, not.
And Fred and I were talking about why don't they? I can understand why someone who's probably suddenly realise they're going to be next door to this thing, feeling a bit uncomfortable, maybe angry. But as you and Fred and I were talking, why don't they buy a couple of farms out in the middle of Sticks and put the incinerator out there? In Norway or Sweden, they actually buy in plastic waste to burn it to generate power. And they've got multiple filters on this. I'm not saying it's an ideal. It's got to be better than dump it in the landfill.
Well, and they do a swap, you know, for every so many, the filters, for every how many tonnes they do get into the atmosphere, they have a planting program of how much forest they have to plant. So, you know, it's not perfect.
But I can't see us doing it because...
No, but there's quite a few incinerators around the world, big commercial. China does it.
Yeah,
China does a lot of it.
But you had the filters, as you said, Mick. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is an ideal. But is landfills ideal?
Well, no.
No, there aren't either. No. Chipping.
And these same people who complain about this, they're probably generating the plastic in the first place because they're buying their stuff full of this packaging.
So the real issue is how to get the plastic off the cucumber. Packaging. How to get the plastic off the cucumber.
Yes.
How do we stop the triple layering? Because plastic's so convenient.
But it hangs around for a hell of a long time.
Well, forever, basically.
Yeah. And unfortunately, not all plastics can be recycled.
No.
Well, and actually, George Monbiot, that book I was telling you about, what was it called? I can't remember now.
I know, yeah.
And he said the recycling thing in one way is sort of almost a con. It got people relaxed about everything. We can recycle.
How many companies suddenly put, we're green, and put a little green logo on their advertising, make people all warm and safe.
So it sort of steers people away from actually the issue is what the packaging is.
It's distraction and the problem's still there.
Oh, yeah, that's all right because it's number two. That's all right. Yeah. It gets recycled rather than do we really need to have that package with that?
Yeah.
You know?
But this has been a major thing in Tiamutu. I think it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I've only got two of the articles there. But a lot of it's like 1.6 were in support of it. The rest were really against it.
Yeah.
And I can understand.
I can too.
I wouldn't want to live next door to incinerator, but then, as Fred and I said, why don't I stick it out in the middle of the stick somewhere?
Well, and also...
And make sure we've got the prevailing wind, so the wind blows it away from the town,
it's probably not much thought. There's been a lot of thought into these sorts of things.
Well, I think they got the land, and then they thought, and then the idea was, we'll put an incinerator. But if it's in the middle of a town, we've got prevailing winds from the west or the south, so... And we know that because you look at the weather map. Where does the weather come from? Generally, it comes from that side.
Yeah.
So you need it on the furthest side apart. And I say, if you have to spend and buy three or four farms to make an area that is. But of course, it goes into the atmosphere, so I don't know much about the trailing of bad chemicals, etc.
But Sweden have been doing this for some time.
Yeah.
Doesn't too many come back on.
Well, they also have their chimneys or wherever they are.
Multiple filters.
But then the prevailing wind goes over these huge, vast forests, etc. Yeah.
It blows over out to sea or something like that.
Yeah, over to.
But then, as you say, they have to replant an X amount of trees to compensate.
To soak,
You're saying.
What we could do over here, because we seem to do it quite well, is grow marijuana, because that absorbs more carbon than trees.
But you get the frowns.
But you could actually
certain tyres you can chip A, and they can be part of the tar seal service there.
But
the problem is the steel belted stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, of course, we have so many tyres go through a year.
Volume is staggering.
Volume. Yeah.
Volume.
And volume of plastics. Anything. Yeah. You know, plastic bags, the whole lot. But, you know,
Well, the car, how much is plastics in the car?
Yeah.
All the wiring and all the materials for the inside.
And it's all happened within 100 years. Or 80 years,
Very quickly,
Look at this office. Look where we are now.
How much plastic?
What's made of plastic? What are we wearing that's made of plastic? I've got shoes that are made of plastic, soles. I've got clothing that's got plastic in it.
Separates from another studio.
Plastic is everywhere.
It might be glass or it might be plastic.
Yeah, the computers, the phone.
Everything.
Stereo, headphones, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Microphone, just keep going, you know?
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And in our clothes, most of our clothes are.
Is a have mixture got of mixture, polymer and.
So their clothes don't rot down, you know?
Yeah. So I can't understand the consternation in Tiamita, but there shouldn't be an excuse to just sidestep the problem. Because the other manufacturers now having to think about going back to the drawing board and see if they can come up with another design. But we're going to have to bite the bullet on this sooner or later.
Or change the packaging.
There should be pressure on the manufacturers about changing the packaging.
And if you means the product has to be not even produced and done something, go back to glass.
Yeah.
Go back to something that's...
See, in Germany, if you buy a laptop, part of the price incorporates the recycling of the materials.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because it makes it expensive and people go, it's been disposed of in a responsible fashion.
Yeah.
Not just dumped.
Yeah, which is
We're going to have more people here, according to this government. So they're trying to increase the population, so that means there's more pressure on infrastructure.
Erica Stanford this week was talking about wanting to... waiver visa requirements for parents of immigrants coming over here.
Well, they've already said,
And nowhere in the article, I haven't got it with me, unfortunately, but nowhere in the article was infrastructure. Where are these people going to go?
What's
going to happen to the people at the bottom of the heap? They're going to get pushed out and become homeless.
What's going to happen to, there's two people waiting for an operation or whatever. Guess who's going to go in first?
Whoever's got the dosh.
And speaking of that, in that space there, Fred, pushing some of the operations in the public sector
into private.
Yeah.
And the most profitable ones.
Yes. Mm. What's happening there? Yeah. Privatisation of health.
It's coming. Isn't it? It's privatisation of health, and then they deal with all the things that the state can't run, and then they charge the state. You know, so it's like... The major client is the state. Why didn't the state do it themselves? You know,
nudge, wink, wink, little backroom deals.
You wonder. It's like X-rays and all that. The state.
There must be some buddies thinking, okay, bring it on. We're ready to do this. We can. They want to do it with the ferries. They want to privatise that.
Yeah. Well, private people do it more efficiently.
No.
Questionable at that.
It's questionable. The waste is just as bad as the
waste can be converted into profits. Yeah. Like what I'm saying is in the state it's waste because it's not used. In private enterprise they tend to say, well, we need to make this much profit. So that disappears too. So it's no cheaper.
Mm. No, exactly.
Is it? It's just that it's gone off to to the well.
We've been sold a line.
Yeah, we have been sold that line.
Yeah, but everybody knows that when they sold the rail to Fay Ridgewhite, and Fay and Ridgewhite, they ran it into the ground.
Yep.
So that was one example. And the other one is if the private sector muck up an operation, it becomes the problem.
State's got to go and fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of, hopefully some accountability.
Yeah.
But private, I really don't want to live in a miniature version of the United States.
A failed health system. Yeah.
Well, if you've got money, otherwise you're the luck of the draw. If someone will help you, or not, you know,
you stick your dog.
You're in debt. I saw an article in one of the papers yesterday, and this guy, and he was quite old. He wasn't just 65. He was closer to 80, I think. And he was flipping burgers or something because he had to pay off his dead wife's medical bill. You know.
Yeah, so I hear that. That could easily happen here.
Yeah,
probably does happen here.
Yeah,
they have to work beyond what we beyond is retirement age.
Yeah.
Well, talking about retirement, I see that Norway's want to increase their retirement age to 70.
Yeah, go up. Yeah,
with an aging population.
Aging population.
Hasn't it been announced here? Is it?
They've been talking.
They've been talking about it. I think they were mooting the idea of 67 one time.
Yeah, I think they're still on their agenda.
I think it's still this
cruel circus.
Which is fine if you have an office-style job, but if you're doing a physically demanding job and you have to do it for another 10 years, the likelihood of being able to enjoy your retirement is significantly reduced.
And the other issue, just on that, Mick, is like, and I know, good on you, you went to a volunteers award thing which you got nominated for, mm-hmm. what you do for visiting people for age concern. But what happens when they get people to work more? Do they do any volunteering?
Yeah.
You know?
They may not be able to because they may need...
Exactly.
And the financial straits.
Well, they're at work either because they need the money or they want a trip to Fiji instead. Mm-hmm. There is that element in it. But as I say, the whole sort of society as we used to know it in the 50s, you retired at 60, the men were still able to go and do something. They'd run the model train society, or something.
And the wives would be involved in the community as well.
Knitting clubs or whatever.
Different times.
Different times. But I just...
But as Paul herself, she was there at the thing, and if it wasn't for volunteers, a lot of services would just plummet. It just wouldn't function without these people... volunteering their time and energy.
We get them up at the hospital. You know,
you get volunteer visitors up at the hospital.
Who come in and
might play music to them or read a new whatever.
Just even at the reception.
You see them giving directions to people.
You get volunteers at the community centre?
Yeah, we do. We have people who help pack the veggie bags for Thursday, people who operate the free store.
Yeah.
We have those sorts of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And it works the other way too. Volunteering is good for you as well. I think, you know, I encourage people to do it. It actually does
help
your own soul.
You get a lot out of it. And you might see parts of the town you haven't seen for ages.
Even doing here is volunteering.
Of course.
What's that you got there, Ralph?
I'll talk about it when you
done. So you didn't win anything, did you? Or were awarded anything, Mick?
No, but that's okay because the people who did get some... acknowledged, rewarded with, they deserved it.
And some of them have been doing it. Some people do it all their lives.
I can't remember what she was doing for. Been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
Good on. Everyone who does.
Yeah, recipients deserved it.
Yeah.
And we still got acknowledged anyway because mugshots went up on the wall. And
they made the night about the volunteers. It's about the volunteers,
not that was about
the staff.
Good. Yeah. Great. Good.
About time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's me.
Yeah.
What do you got, Craig?
Well, I only had the Robert Patman thing, but although there was a comment, and I've been trying to hunt it down, to do with Minister Bishop and overriding councils.
This is something to do with the resource management.
Overriding them. Any council decision can be overridden by him.
Okay, I might try and find
it for next week. Democracy?
Oh, they went out the door when they started using under urgency and fast track. That's when.
He wants to just lay down the law, literally, no pun intended, to tell people what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, well, we vote for a council, but we didn't vote for
him. He's going to circumvent that.
Which erodes democracy, doesn't it? The more, you know, they go, oh, we need it to be more efficient, or we need to do this.
Of course it is.
But then people go, why should I vote?
It's a great point. We vote for a council and suddenly there's someone... Big wig in the town, in the Wellington, says, no, the council can't do that. But hang on, I voted for that council on that policy.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have councils when they get given a heave-ho, like the Ecam down the South Island, and then you had the Tauranga council.
They had administrator.
People voted for those sorts of things. Did they vote for an administrator to take over and run the roost? No, they didn't.
No.
So that's...
It undermines democracy.
Well, then we're trying to get people to vote,
Unfortunately makes other people disinclined to participate, even more disinclined to participate.
Yeah. Because there's some twat from Wellington telling us what to do.
Well, and it also enhances the status, what I call the status quo, doesn't it?
Well, it's making sure they're okay.
It's
all about the status quo. Yeah. It's not about the people. It's about the status quo.
And
before we get into your thing, Fred, because it's probably in that space, that gold mine down in the South Island. That's the sort of thing. People concerned about the environment. We know that gold, the mining of gold, is quite a... You know,
well, mining of anything has a waste.
Masses of it. And this has been
pushed. The chemicals are used to separate the gold from
cyanide,
arsenic, and cyanide.
It's the problem.
So toxic. So it's a toxic person that's pushing it. Shane Jones.
Mm.
But there's people who are quite concerned about their environment in this area. Yeah. Quite concerned.
Yeah, and surely, and this is what we're talking about.
Mr. Bishop doesn't live anywhere near where this sort of stuff goes on.
Jones is safe up north. Yeah.
So they're completely detached from the effect of their policies.
Well, and I say it's like how many dairy farmers have a batch of port wagata to see what the river's like, or you know, the Waipa or whatever. And that often happens. Even us in the city, not just picking on farmers, but do we see the end product of our waste or what we don't do?
Outside, out of mind, isn't it?
Yeah, good point, mate.
When
you had your septic tank on your section. It was part of the family's concern because
you were living right next door to it.
Let's not put a plastic bottle down the toilet, or let's not put too much toilet paper down.
Because you could see the repercussions of.
Yeah, when it's out of sight, it's danger.
That's why you get that problem. I don't know, for having to clean the pipes, because people keep shoving disposable nappies and
wipes. And all,
Don't they read that? Yeah,
but it doesn't affect them because once it's flushed, it's gone.
It's gone down the street. And they're not affected, it's people further down.
Or when there's a big blockage or whatever else.
Anyway.
So you've got a book there.
I've got a book on it because I'm a member of Forest and Bird. And I've been one for quite a while. And been a bit of a... I don't know if
we call them twitchers.
I'm a twitcher.
I thought it was something like ticks.
Well, I do that as well when I get really excited. I was twitching a bit in stuck in traffic on the motorway the other night.
I think you were more than twitching. You must be in epileptic fit.
Yeah, just about. But anyway, so it's been a bit of a twitcher and been a bit of a tree person, etc. I do support Forest and Bird. And, you know, they give you four magazines a year for your subscription.
What glossy magazine you got there?
Yeah, this is just a flyer, the big magazines at home. Just a flyer that was with it, and I've never seen it before.
Wow.
And it's called Nō Te Aotearoa Rongoā, Choose Nature-Based Solutions. And what caught my eye, they've got examples of how in cities and towns that they can have blue-green networks.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, about stormwater, etc.
They're
starting to be a bit more of understanding that actually, okay, we have heavy rains events due to climate change, etc. Mm-hmm. How are we going to deal with the water?
Mm-hmm.
We've
talked about this before.
So there's various places around the country are starting to put in place these sort of blue-green networks. We're using parks, etc., to absorb flooding and even in some cases even buying housing or sections that are just in the wrong place, should have never gone through in the first place.
They mention things like some cities are putting guns up on the roof of buildings.
Yeah. But basically, so they're trying to sort of give rivers need room to move. So instead of the old days where we just put a wall up, and of course it would sort of solve the problem wherever the wall was.
It pushes the problem further
pushes
down.
The problem, or it overflows.
Yeah,
and it exacerbates the thing. Right. So there's various different places. So. Yeah, blue-green networks, and just the starting to understand that water has to go somewhere.
Water will always find a way.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, where they have that sort of, okay, how do floodplains are, and we haven't...
The soaks.
We've always used floodplains for fertility, but they're actually also, there's a clue in there in the word. What were floodplains meant to do?
Flood.
Absorb the water. So the idea is if you
and
start...
And filter the water so by the time it gets
catch
down...
Catch sediments, whatever.
It's cleaner.
And there's a good example. There's one in Rangitaiki where they've done a big project to... they've even, I think, bought back some land, etc., to widen the river floodplain, etc. Because anywhere that you put the flood in happens, if you can take in some of that water...
You mitigate
the flow on downstream, etc. So you don't necessarily stop it, but you slow it up.
You control it.
Yeah.
Well, you said before on the program they've reintroduced beavers in the UK.
Making
dams, it slows the flow of the water, it filters, and the effect is not as bad as if it just flash flood.
Yeah, and it will mean they'll have to, and they are, but it will mean they'll have to buy some rural land back. But since we have 30% food waste...
Well, what we don't want to do is start building houses in these flood-prone areas.
Well, that's what we should have done.
That's what they've done in the UK, and now they've got problems.
We're slow learners, unfortunately. Because even what they're
we
doing...
We always end up repeating the same mistakes other people make.
But isn't it strange? What we're starting to do is realise that we need swamps, we need wetlands, we need things to mitigate
flooding.
Everything's
there for a purpose.
But instead of just leaving it alone in the first place...
We've turned into a commodity. It's money.
Now we're starting to go, oh, that would be better as a swamp than housing.
Duh.
Yeah. And there's a good example in Christchurch. It's called Te Kuru, and it's a what they've done is they've got, I think it's a couple of hundred, 109 hectares, so it's 250 acres of old-fashioned people like me.
Right.
And basically it's a swamp wetland area. And they basically, when it rains, they can divert water into it, in a big way, et cetera. And its capacity is hundreds of thousands of tonnes of water, of flood water they can grab, goes into the wetlands, and then they can let it out in a more controlled way. And... that's sort of talking about the UK. Talk about lots of places.
I think the Romans had those ideas.
Exactly. It's not
Romans are ruthless, but they were clever bastards.
Yeah, I know they were. Time team tells us that.
Like in New Zealand, we've only got 10% of our natural wetlands remaining, and that would be higgly piggly.
Yeah,
it'd be scattered everywhere.
Inaccessible places.
And so, we may be starting to get there, but I say it. It's great.
But what interrupted the logical thinking is greed, isn't it?
They
see a plot of land, they don't look at, oh, it's a floodplain, it's there for a purpose, I can drain it and make money.
And you see it on I was having a go at farm, and if sometimes
it's not just
farms,
it's
everywhere. But you see remnants of a swamp, but it's also in a paddock now, it's been drained, and, you know, the whole idea of that swamp was a sediment catcher. To grab some of the water, let it filter out. So you get rid of them, it just goes straight into a drain and out to the river.
Yeah.
You know? But it's as we've just said before, putting back, we're starting to realise we should put back some of these wetlands, etc. But it used to be there.
But unfortunately, the people who could do something about this are still living in the dark ages.
Literally.
I.e. the government we've got to... And on both sides. The Blues, it's the Reds as well.
And we're getting
short-sighted, and
it's starting to, but it does cost lots of money.
It seems like a wall of inertia. Sounds like common sense.
It just becomes too difficult.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just delay it to the next time.
Yeah, there was
a good example, and so this book is about the examples that they're doing because you can tell that anything that. I think we've got to get out of the mentality of just getting lawnmowers in councils. And even on farms, we've got to get out of going, well, we have to have everything grazed, or we have to be a bit more untidy. We actually have to go, well, okay, it doesn't even have to. Swamps actually absorb, and wetlands absorb, I think it's 10 times more carbon and more bad things than even trees.
Yeah.
You know, we like planting trees, and, you know, we're coming to tree planting now, so that's great.
We need more swamps and mangroves and all.
Yeah, we know in Hamilton which areas get flooded, et cetera. Let's just go, well, let's leave this area alone.
Look at the history of the place for the last 100 years. They should better tell which areas are flood prone.
Well, they spent a lot of money on telling us which areas are flood prone, but now...
If they bother to talk to the locals...
At first, they might have spent...
Yes, save some money.
But they... Probably what they say that the future would be, okay, these areas flood. We might need to buy 6 houses that are in a flood area and make a wetland, and then divert the overflow onto a playing field and then into the Waikato River. Yeah. It will cost.
There will be a cost somewhere along the line.
But
hopefully, it might be initially quite hefty, but over time, if you're thinking long term, it's got to be more beneficial.
Well, and even the fields...
It won't get any cheaper. If you keep putting it off, it won't get cheaper.
And even letting, not mowing the lawns as much, it'll look messier. It actually absorbs... A lawn that's 4 inches high will absorb more water than a lawn that's mown by commercial mower.
We're obsessed with mowing lawns.
Yeah, and even councils we are too, because it looks tidy and you don't get bee stings by people and everything else. But all it does is, where's the water going to go?
Mm.
It doesn't absorb. Whereas you have longer grass, sediment trap, and it absorbs more water.
Because if you've got short grass, the water's just going to run over the top. It's not like you get them at your place too sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It just runs up right over the top.
It does.
This concept at the back of your booklet, Te Kuka Wai O Toa.
Yeah.
It's a constructed urban wetland in Porirua, north of Wellington.
Yeah.
It treats stormwater runoff from 40 hectares of commercial and residential areas, reducing flooding and acting as a natural filtration, protecting Te Awarua o Porirua Harbour from pollution.
Yeah.
The Iha Wetland Project, which was completed in 2022, so we never heard about this until I've just seen it right now, contains 35,000 carefully selected native plants to support a vibrant and biodiverse ecosystem.
Yeah.
Its walking and biking tracks are also popular with residents. Yeah.
So you can make these areas quite attractive.
Yeah. I can just imagine, I had a sort of moment like 10 years in the future, and everyone's decided not to mow their grass, and the lawnmower industry would be lobbying the government because their sales have gone down.
Well, you know, I've got an arc on my lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and I started,
at the moment it's quite muted because the growth has slowed down.
It's winter time.
But in the spring... Yeah.
I do a perimeter, and I'm encouraging other people to think about it. You go to a lawn and you don't like mowing lawns all the time. Think about mowing an edge around your area that you don't and just letting it go. And by having that mowing strip around your perimeter of your wilderness area, arc, it looks quite tidy.
Yeah.
And it keeps your neighbours off your back, because I imagine if you just let long grass go right to the
boundaries.
I can
think of one of your neighbours would get upset.
Not everyone is as green as me.
Yeah.
All right. But the idea is that, so what? So what if it's that? That's
it's good for your invertebrates. It's getting used to the idea of not having a manicured...
Yeah.
And to let it more natural.
And before lawnmowers, we were sort of like that.
Yeah.
And so everyone's... And if you look at old pictures, not necessarily of the lord and ladies, because they probably use servants... to pick the grass. But you look at old pictures of where everyone lived. The sections were all hickory. They had garden.
They had more cottage style gardens, more wild,
and veggies. You know. But
they weren't manicured.
No. So this thing of manicured lawns.
It's a 20th century construct.
So around the world, people start to go for it.
That's good.
Good to bring that, Fred.
Cool. So I'll go back to my arc. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have to start calling you Noah.
Other people said that, so you can call me Noah.
Yeah, grab me.
I don't know if I can.
Okay.
See you next week.
You'll find Free Left Turn on www.freefm.org.nz and check us out on Free Left Turn and podcasts.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.